Gene Deitch, who turns 95 next month, is by some distance the US citizen longest resident in Prague. Deitch had run a successful animation studio in New York prior to the fateful meeting in 1959 with his future wife Zdenka that led him to settle in Prague soon after. From behind the Iron Curtain, he produced an Oscar-winning animated short, as well as directing Tom and Jerry and Popeye cartoons for the American market. Deitch, a jazz buff, actually started out doing illustrations for the magazine Record Changer. And he told me in the first half of a two-part interview, it was those drawings that brought him to the attention of animation producers in Hollywood, where he'd grown up.
The people who made animated films were also jazz fans, and they all subscribed to the Record Changer magazine, and they saw my cartoons. And so I saw an ad in there, somebody put an insert in that he had exactly the Jelly Roll Morton record I was looking for. And so I knocked on his door, and as soon as he opened the door, he said, "You don't happen to be the same Gene Deitch that's drawing these cartoons?" And I said, "Well, yes, I am." And he said, "I know some people who are looking for you." And it turned out he was doing a script for this new animation studio. All these guys are refugees from the Disney studio, and they were really sick of doing the Disney kitsch, and they wanted to expand. They really developed the whole idea that animated films could be a lot more than Mickey Mouse and Tom and Jerry and Bugs Bunny and so on. The animation medium had fantastic possibilities. And they had gotten to the point where they would like to have had an apprentice that was not spoiled by the Hollywood kitsch of animation. And they were fans of my cartoons in this magazine. And that changed my life right there. Right there, they said, "You're exactly the person we want to, because you're the style of your cartoons is way, way far away from Disney, and this is what we're trying to do, and we don't." And almost anybody else we could get would be already spoiled by that style.
You've been based in Prague for almost 60 years now. You first came in 1959 because a U.S. film producer called Bill Snyder said he could help you make a short called Monroe on condition that you do so in Prague.
Yeah.
How outlandish was that idea during the Cold War come to Prague?
Totally outlandish. I was also, among other things, I was a stamp collector. I had in my mind where Prague was just from stamp collecting and from drinking beer in a place called Prague, Oklahoma. And so this guy's suddenly talking about Prague, Czechoslovakia. Well, I knew enough. By that time, it all began to focus in my mind, you know, this guy must be crazy because, you know, nobody can go there, especially not me.
When you came here, what were the work conditions you found? Because the studios here were nationalized. You were coming from capitalist America.
Well, I finally got it all straightened out in my mind that he wanted to do this. But I said, "Look, there's no chance in the world of my going there." Now I realize what he's talking about. This is a communist country and a communist state. And in the first place, I don't even have a passport. Why should I have a passport? I'm living in America, you know. I go to Mexico, I go to Canada. You don't need a passport. So the whole idea was was crazy, because all I knew about Europe was from old Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire movies where they were dancing on a Hollywood set that was supposed to be in Europe. It was a big deal to go to Europe then, in those days. Big deal.
But were the studios markedly different from studios in the States at those times?
Completely, because these people were really shut off from the West. This was really, Iron Curtain was no joke, as I found out later. After the end of the war, they had come in possession of some pirated Disney films that the Nazis had made, you know, of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and Pinocchio. And from those old, and they were black and white duplicated movie prints which they had, and they studied those prints to get the idea of how this happened, how this works, where you make drawings in slightly different positions and show them real fast. It looks like they're moving. Aha! This is animation, cinema animation. And so they thought this was a great thing. And Jerzy Tunka himself, who was already a great graphic artist and famous for being ambidextrous, that he could draw with both hands. And right at the end of the war, they all decided they were going to put together their own studio to make these animated films. And they used the old prints that they got a hold of to try to study how they were made. They converted an old discarded movie projector and remade it so that they were able to look at movie prints frame by frame by frame. And so they got at the root of how this was done. So they really started from zero. And because of that, because they had no contact with the West, they came up with an entirely different way of doing this. You know, just technically, it was really amazing. And I can't go into all the details to you, but the basic idea of making an animated film where you're photographing one drawing at a time, which have to be shown in rapid succession, faster than the persistence of vision in humanity, you could get the illusion of motion. That's what it's all about. And so they just learned it figured it out from the grassroots, and they had developed a very elaborate system where on each drawing they would put the bunch of numbers on the edge that would not be photographed, which gave the cameraman the information of how to shoot these things. We didn't do anything like making numbers on the drawings itself. We had what we called exposure sheets, in which were line by line showing the frames, and you'd put all the numbers on there, and it was easy to make corrections. But when I came and saw how they were doing it, I thought it was absolutely, you know, insane. But look, I said, they got it on the screen, they made it. But I had to make a big joke out of the fact that in the animation, you have to separate parts of the drawings on different levels so you don't have to keep drawing the same thing over and over again. So you might have, let's say, the body on one hand, the arms on another level, and the eyes and the eyes and the mouth on still another level of drawings. And so you ended up with a very complicated series of numbering that you had to figure out. And so, they were just working backwards. They were backwards from the effect to how to get to this effect. Whereas we had developed it, our system in America was based on some of the early experiments by Winsor McCay, for example, famous film called Gertie the Dinosaur, which was the first real animated film. And they had figured out a totally different way of doing this. But even when Winsor McCay was making Gertie and the Dinosaur, he didn't know enough to know that what moved could be on one level of drawing and what was static, such as the background, could be on another level, just one drawing for the background. And Winsor McCay traced the background in every single frame over and over. So if you look at these old films and wonder why the background is wiggling all the time, well, that was the reason. So, you know, this was just a search for a technical way of doing it. And in Hollywood, they came up with one way. And in Europe, being completely separated, especially in Prague, they came up with a totally different way. So you asked me, that question was, what did I think when I got there? It was like Alice going through a mirror into Wonderland.
Not long after you came here, you met Zdena, who's still your wife all these decades later. And then the film that you had made here, this Monroe, it won the Oscar. Well, were you able to enjoy that moment?
Not really. No, there was a total shock. Look, the main reason I did finally agree with this guy to come here, and I had a contract saying I only had to stay 10 days, was that he agreed that if I came and helped him with his problems, that he would finance making this story of Monroe, which I had no chance of financing in America. So that was the key thing. And so, okay, so I did it, and we got a release from Paramount Pictures as an experiment, said they would put it in some theaters, and that's all it took to qualify for the Oscar. So right away, Bill Snyder got a big idea. I'm going to enter this film for an Oscar. Well, look, I'm back here, and I'm in the midst of now developing a fantastic love affair. And I know that you go to Hollywood and you got to stay in, you got to be a hotel, you got to rent a tuxedo, and you got to go through all this stuff. And I said, we got like one chance in 10 million of this thing doing anything. I'm not going to go to all that trouble. But old Snyder, he actually believed that it could happen. And so he went there. And naturally, he enters the film under his own name and everything. That leads to another big story. But the fact is that here I am in Prague, and suddenly I start getting telegrams from my colleagues saying, congratulations, your film has won the Oscar. Well, of course, that did change everything. When you win the Oscar, then suddenly you go from nobody to somebody, and started to get all kinds of offers to do more films. So for one thing, I wanted to be here long enough to get married with Zdenka, and the other one was that all these jobs started being offered. Popeye cartoons and Tom and Jerry cartoons and many things like this started coming in. And I didn't really want to do those particular films, but what I did want to do was to marry Zdenka. And so this was going to keep me here. So it was a great thing, whether I had the actual Oscar in my possession or not didn't matter. The idea was that that's what everybody believed, and we got lots of work.
To me, it's an incredible story that Popeye cartoons, Tom and Jerry cartoons were made behind the Iron Curtain in the 60s or whenever. Would that have been widely known in the States that these were coming from behind the Iron Curtain?
Well, of course, Bill Snyder started to become terrified exactly on that point. I fell in love not only with Zdenka, but with the whole studio, and all those people became my friends, and we were forced by Snyder to put fake names on the credits, you know. Zdenka was at that time Zdenka Naimanova, so instead of Naiman, they said Newman, they gave everybody a fake English-sounding name. And this was really terrifically embarrassing to me. As I discovered all these people, and here's a chance for them to get known, to do something. And Snyder was terrified about this whole idea that as soon as these American producers would cop onto the idea that we were making these films behind the Iron Curtain, we'd probably lose the whole thing. And eventually we did lose a lot of work when this came out.
I know there were different kind of series of, for example, Tom and Jerry. The ones that were made here, are they noticeably different from the ones that were made in the States?
Well, I was not really a fan of Tom and Jerry, and there were a lot of things about it which we really couldn't do. For example, the Tom and Jerry cartoons had one character was a black woman housemaid. And the way they put her on the screen, her head was always out of the frame. And I said, we absolutely can't do that. So that was one of the things I said, no more black housemaid. And so I tried to think of new things that Tom and Jerry could do. But MGM people, they were happy with the cartoons we were making. But the fans, the real fans and purists, thought our films were terrible because they're not pure Tom and Jerry.
Were they visually different, though?
Well, I did everything possible to make sure they weren't. But I had to overcome tremendous problems. Because of the Iron Curtain, the animators in this studio here in Prague had never, ever even seen a Tom and Jerry cartoon. It was way out of their culture. And this kind of meaningless, stupid violence was also way out of their culture. To them, animation was really a cultural thing, and they were trying to make artistic animation here. I didn't want to come here and spoil this, because I thought this was really wonderful what they were doing here. But I knew it was not going to be commercially viable in America, because they had a whole different, besides other things, they had a different concept of pace. They would make leisurely films that took time to establish a real story, whereas in America it has to be slam bam, thank you ma'am, one gag after another, and super high tempo, which people were not used to at all. And so when they started making these films for Snyder, they were beautiful, but they were leisurely paced, and he couldn't sell them in America. And that's why he came to me in the first place, because he wanted me to come and show them what had to be to get it, have their film be successful in America, to make this kind of tempo change.